Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening into DRN1. Today on Bounce Back, we're talking Fringe World and I have Cameron the Magician with me. Hi, Cameron.
Hello. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for joining me, Lee.
Oh, of course. Always love to be here.
It's Fringe World is one of Perth's biggest festivals, I find, all year round. And it's one of the biggest fringe in throughout the whole world, isn't it?
I think
it?
It's the third or fourth largest.
Yeah, yeah.
From memory.
I think so as
well. It's pretty crazy for Perth because we have nothing, so that's good.
I know. And it does attract some amazing performers. Obviously, through COVID, we're a bit locked down at the moment, so we're unable to take our internationals. But we have some terrific local acts, you being one.
Yeah, I'll take the pie, it's fine. More cake for me.
We've got a hub in Kalamunda and we've got you coming in to do two shows for us, and I know that you've actually got a crazy amount of shows coming up, don't you?
Yeah, so last year I had 55, I think it was the total appearances and shows. This year I'm only on 41, so a light fringe season this year with 41 appearances.
41 shows. Yeah. That's insane.
I like to keep busy. I don't know if anyone's doing as many. I'm sure there might be some other people out there, but yeah, 41, you know, it's a light season for me.
When are you sleeping?
Sleep. Don't know what that is. I just go from gig to gig and eventually perish.
It's all adrenaline, isn't it?
Pretty much. Well, I mean, we did a show a few years ago and I was like, oh, I've got a bit of pain in my side. And then ended up that I had appendicitis and went straight to hospital into surgery afterwards. So, you know, the show must go on.
I will never forget that show, Cameron, because I was so worried about you. Poor Cameron walks into Kalamunda Hotel. He looks a bit sweaty and clammy and he looks curled over a little bit in pain. And I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, yep, I'll be able to do it. Now, just to give you scope, this guy is an absolute trooper. He was running around with the kids and everything and bouncing off the walls. And I was like, oh, he's okay. You know, a bit of Panadol did him a good job there. No, I messaged him later, find out he's in emergency and about to have surgery to remove appendix.
Yeah, I was waiting for a loud pop sound during that show, but it didn't come, luckily. So, yeah, I had what they call a hot appendix.
Oh, what does that mean?
It's ready to burst. So.
Oh, right, great. Yeah, that would have made me feel... Well, I'm not sure my public liability insurance would have covered that.
Yeah, I don't know. Whose fault is that? Is that an act of God or is that, you know?
I'm just glad that you're okay.
Yeah, well, you know, missing my appendix now, but it's fine.
We bonded over appendicitis.
Yeah, exactly. It brings people together.
Cameron, let's talk about some of your shows that are coming up during Fringe. We'll start with your first one, which is Kids One. Yep. You've got that coming up in Kalamunda and various venues. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so this one's called Allah's a Cam. So it's the spiritual sequel to my first show, Abra Decameron. So yeah, it's a kids show, interactive magic. I always say there's nothing worse than a kids show for kids. So I always make sure to include the adults. So it's like a kids show for the whole family, really. But yeah, so it involves lots of different tricks or illusions. I won't give anything away too much. You got to pay the money to come see it. But yeah, so it'll involve people coming up from the audience, lots of kids and their parents helping to perform some really funny and exciting magic. And if you're lucky, you might even learn a magic trick during it. Depends on how well behaved the crowds are. Last year I did an hour show, which was half show, half magic workshop. This year I'm kind of twisting the ratio a little bit, making it more focused on the magic part of it. And then, you know, maybe including some little tips and tricks for magic as well in the end there, just to start the next generation of magicians as well.
One of the things I like about you being a magician is I think the first time I ever met you, you were doing card tricks for us.
Yeah.
And you had us so engrossed in what you're doing. And I think everyone in the cafe was like looking as well going, oh, what's going on here? But it's watching you as a performer as well and seeing how families all engage together, and you really bring that wholesomeness to families and they get so immersed in it, don't they?
Well, that's the thing. I like with magic, it's a great way of bringing in everyone. You know, if you're too, as long as you can understand some level of object permanency, magic is great for you. But yeah, you know, the little kids, the parents, the grandparents. We've had shows at Kalamunda where we've had four generations essentially walking into the same show, and I'll have them all working together. So yeah, I think that's probably one of my strengths as a magician, because of my experience with, you know, children's theatre and working in children's entertainment, working for, you know, children's charities at hospitals, I'm able to work with, you know, 1-year-olds up to 15-year-olds fine. But then my personality and my personal ability to interact as a magician means that 15 and above, I'm very comfortable with as well. So it means I see a crowd and I can adjust on the fly and include everyone. Whereas I feel like a lot of magicians tend to be either a kid's magician or a corporate magician or a wedding magician or an adult magician. And it's tricky to blur those lines.
Yeah.
I like to blur them.
I think you blur them really well. I think that even when you use your humor, it's very, you know, you can say a joke which will fly, the kids will laugh, but it flies straight over their head, the actual content.
It's all about levels.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't make horrible sex jokes in front of kids.
It's nothing
but just,
like that.
You know, there's elements of the joke that will hit each age group.
Yeah.
And that's why this show, I think, is, you know, it's a little bit different to your regular kids show, because the parents aren't just going to drop their kids off, stand at the back of the room, wait for an hour to pass and then go home.
No.
They're going to be involved. They're going to be watching it. They're actually going to enjoy it. They're going to laugh often more than the kids. But, you know, that's always been important to me. I think inclusivity is super important in general.
Yeah.
But in magic and entertainment as well, I always make sure get everyone laughing.
One of my favorite moments with you, one of your shows, was when you got one of the dads up and just the joy on his children's face, because they were so excited and, you know, rooting for dad, like, yeah, come on, dad. And yeah, that was just a beautiful moment. And he was beaming as well. I think that's the thing. Everyone walks out smiling and just happy after they've been experienced Cameron the Magician.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I always like to make the audience the hero. You know, I'm there, I'm doing the magic on stage, but anytime something cool happens, it's because the audience has been there to make it happen.
Definitely.
And I think, again, that's a big important thing in magic. Like, watching a stage illusion is great. Like, you know, there's lots of magicians out there that do huge stage illusions where they're cutting someone in half or, you know, turning into fire in front of your eyes and all of a sudden they're behind you. And that's an amazing art form. But for me, that feeling of putting something in someone's hands and then that disappearing and then them seeing that happen in front of them and having that close proximity, it's a whole different, you know, feeling of show. And yeah, that's something that I always strive to achieve in my shows, interactivity and inclusivity.
It's very good. Cameron, how can people find out you on socials for this and also on Fringe World?
Yeah, so you can search Alaza Cam for that show. Otherwise, if you search Cameron the Magician, I show up there as well. But Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff is just Cameron the Magician. Very easy to remember. It's who I am. It's what I do. Cameron the Magician. Yeah, so you can search that. So Alaza Cam, A-L-A-Z-A-C-A-M. Alaza Cam and Abra de Cameron are very tongue-twistery names. So, yeah, I like to make people struggle with finding my show, which is probably not a good idea from a marketing point of view, but hey.
If they search on Cameron the Magician for Fringe World, will it come up that way as well?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I haven't done the research myself.
Because that's pretty easy to search.
Because it's all connected, yeah. So, yeah. But if you look up, you know, kids' magic shows, it'll come up towards the top. It starts with A, which was an accident, but a happy accident because it means it shows up earlier in the guide. So,
that's very good.
I was going to call it A-A-A-A-A-A-A Lizard Cam.
Oh, yeah, very clever.
Yeah, but... But
like AAA?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Aren't you?
They get mad at you.
Oh, what a shame. Very good marketing strategy, but isn't it?
Exactly.
Tell me about your other show. You've got a burlesque versus magic.
Yeah, so this is a brand new concept. So burlesque versus magic. So I will be versing a team of Perth's and Australia's best burlesque artists. So me versus three artists. And basically we go head to head over three rounds. I perform some magic. They do a burlesque routine. And then at the end of the show, the audience gets to vote on which art form they think was better. So let's say magic wins, which it probably will because it's a better art form. Magic wins. And then my co-producer, Coco Fatal, she then has to perform a magic routine that she's never performed before. She's not a professional magician in any way. And she has to perform a magic routine for the crowd, which I'm sure will be hilarious because, you know, she doesn't know what she's doing. but on the unlikely situation that magic doesn't win and burlesque gets voted the best, I then have to do my best burlesque routine.
I was going to ask that. I was going to go, wait. Does this mean you're doing some burlesque?
Yes. Well, if I lose, but what are the chances of that happening? No, so, you know, I might have to don the tassels,
maybe
a corset. We'll see. I don't want to spoil anything. Nothing's prepared yet. I'm not a burlesque artist. I mean, It's probably painfully obvious, but you know,
this show is an adult only show, just so the audience knows that's listening in. Cameron, I am really going to try very hard to ensure that you lose.
Look, I've gone into this with a positive mindset that I feel comfortable in my ability as a magician. But the allure of a magician doing burlesque is possibly too much to not do. So I better start working on it. I think I need to start practicing.
What do you think you need to do to practice to get ready to?
Look, I've done lots of research. I've been looking up lots of YouTube videos, a lot of shimmying, a lot of grinding, a lot of smacking my butt. You know, the whole kit and caboodle. No, lucky I've integrated a little bit into the burlesque community. I've got some friends there now. So I've been getting lots of tips from them.
Some good coaches then.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So look, I don't think it's going to be good. But
it will be funny.
It'll be funny, yeah. Very least, you'll be laughing. But I think it'd be great if I just like completely like do an amazing job and just... Everyone's like, whoa, I was expecting this to be terrible, but he's actually really good. But I think the sort of bus is left on that one because I don't think I have enough time to actually be good at dancing. But hey, like I said, you will laugh at the very least.
I just think that it's such a great concept and a lot of fun as well. I think the audience is in for a really good show.
Yeah, well, we've had pretty good buzz about it, which is nice because it's a brand new concept. I've never heard of anyone doing a show like this. So hopefully, you know, that old COVID guy stays away for us and we get to do the show. It's really exciting, a fun concept, and just talking about it with the cast and getting things together, everyone's like really excited for it. So hopefully it pays off. Got to get past that February 5th.
Well, I think because have you got the majority of your shows prior to that February 5th?
So I think we're only doing 4 shows for Burlesque vs. Magic. I think 2 are before and 2 are after.
Okay.
Maybe 1's before and 3 are after, but we'll have a 1 at least show before it.
Yeah.
But our bigger sort of venue shows are after it. So we're optimistically cautious at this point. WA's been doing a really good job, but there's only so much we can do once the borders open.
Yeah.
But hey, we'll see how it goes. We'll take it as it comes.
I think as well, just asking the audience out there, performers need backing and they need you to buy tickets. So please, please, please pre-buy your ticket, be proactive. It actually makes performers feel worth and makes them feel like, you know, they've got something still. COVID has been really, really hard for the artists. And so we need people to book tickets and just get out there and come along and have a great time.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing worse than logging onto your dashboard and seeing zero tickets sold. And this kind of happened last year as well. Like I was, you know, it's the week before Fringe. I'm checking. I'm like, oh, I've got, you know, 12 tickets sold to this one, or I've got, you know, 20 here. And then by the time the day came around, you know, you'd see those, you know, fill up.
Yeah.
Go, okay, good. So I'm not performing to no one.
Yeah.
But seeing those numbers ahead of time does give you a much larger level of comfort. So
it gives you a rise as well, doesn't it? Just absolutely. Heightens you and makes you feel really pumped and ready to go.
Yeah, so when you see you've sold 100 tickets, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
It makes your day.
It does. It makes it just everything just is so much better. Last year, as COVID wasn't in WA until we got locked down, I think it was on the 31st of January, we had all our shows sold out. And or just a few tickets left. And yeah, so that was amazing. It was such a great feeling knowing that. And for the artists, for us as producers and presenters, it was very, very good. So please, everyone, buy your tickets and get it out there. Okay, so how can people find Magic versus Burlesque?
All right, so you can search Burlesque versus Magic. Now, burlesque is a tricky word to spell because it's B-U-R-L-E-S-Q-U-E. But if you search versus Magic, that'll come up as well. You can search Cameron the Magician. Again, that'll come up. And also Coco Fatale, F-A-T-A-L-E. But it's, you know, it's on Fringe World. Fringe World is a very convenient and handy website that you can look at things very easily on. So it'll pop up on there.
They've got an app as well, don't they?
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
The app and the website work side by side. So same thing, just search it up. But again, if you're looking for something to do, just search Burlesque and you'll find a bunch of great shows as well. But just go down to the one that says Verse Magic and get tickets to that one first.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's nice and easy to find.
Yeah, we've got Supercolor Fringealistic as well, and that's actually a hub page. So we've got Cameron's events listed on there as well. And then through there you can find all of his events because it links onto that as well.
Yes, I do have a link tree on my Instagram account as well. So if you go to instagram.com/CameronTheMagician, you'll be able to see all my fantastic photos, but also links to my shows.
Fantastic.
How convenient. And follow while you're doing that as well. I need to get over 300.
Let's get him there, everyone. Cameron, how long have you been a magician for?
So I have been a professional magician for about 10 years, 10 or 11 years now, but I've been a full-time magician for about two of those.
Wow. Yes. So during COVID, you became a full-time magician.
Yeah. So in October 2019, I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I just transitioned. I left my other job and I just started focusing on magic full time. And it was going, you know, pretty well. Got some gigs coming in, had a few big ones ahead, and then had Fringe. Fringe went really well. I went over to Adelaide in March or April. And while I'm over there, there's murmurs happening of this this thing called coronavirus. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. We'll see what happens. And then I came back to Perth. Everything was closed and isolated, and email after email of gigs pulling out. I was like, oh no, I've picked the absolute worst time possible to do this. But luckily, because WA did so well in the early stages of it, lots of people had sort of saved their money, put things aside. And then once everything opened, everyone was hungry for entertainment. So that in 2020, I had my biggest growth year.
That's fantastic.
Which is really interesting because it's very conflicting to be going through this global pandemic, but also doing pretty good in business. So, yeah, but then I've just continued with that now. So luckily, you know, we've been really lucky to be in WA and that helped a lot. But yeah, now I'm a full-time magician.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I was going to say to you, you are right. WA did amazing. I think a lot of people don't understand how lucky we've been here to be able to work, especially in the arts, entertainment, hospitality industries.
Yeah.
We have been able to keep going. It has been incredible to have that. It's refreshing, really, and mentally good.
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, there's always room for improvement. And I think the powers that be might not necessarily support the arts as much as they probably should. But that all being said, I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me. We were very lucky. You know, I was able to survive off of my income still as a performer in that climate. And that's, you know, that speaks volumes to the industry. Yeah, it was very lucky. Hopefully we remain lucky after everything opens up again.
I hope so too, Cameron. One of the things that, you know, even you saying there, the arts provide such a good outlet for people in terms of mental health as well. So I think that, yeah, I agree with you. There needs to be more support for the arts because it rises people, it makes people happy. And, you know, one of the things with people pre-booking tickets, it makes you look forward to something.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a in burlesque, going back to the show, they always say at the start of the show, you know, the louder you are, the more excited the performer is going to be, the more clothes they're going to take off.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's like that in real life. You know, the more ticket sales you see, the more excited you are for the show, the more energy you bring into the show, and the more fun that show then is. And hopefully if that works out that way, you know, the more fun the show is, the more people tell people about the show, the more people buy tickets, the more excited they get, the more excited the performer gets, the better the show gets. And it just goes on and on and on in a fantastic loop. So yeah, it's super important to support, you know, local artists in general, but especially during Fringe season. You know, not seeing a big tick up in tickets is can be devastating because, you know, you've put this time and effort, you know, I've put the last 5-6 months of focus into this, you know, finding the venues, making up the posters and flyers and handing them out and doing all this stuff. Like, there's a lot of effort that happens behind the scenes.
Producing your own show is massive as well, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, there's all this side of the arts that you don't get to see. And at the end of the day, you get to see this, you know, polished performance, this 1 hour block where you get to see this person in their element. But you don't know all the stresses and the horrible things they've gone through to get to that point. So, yeah, supporting them with a ticket purchase is super important in this
Absolutely.
Climate.
Absolutely. It sure is. Cameron, what's one of the things that you have loved about being a performer?
Well, I'll go for the sappy answer. I've always been a performer. You know, in school, I was, you know, the class clown a little bit, which is, you know, a positive and a negative thing depending on how you take it. So I've always performed. I've always loved making people laugh. I've always enjoyed engaging a crowd. And I think just being able to see people's facial expressions change from when they've walked out, you know, into the lobby of wherever the venue is, sitting down in the chair, and then going from that, okay, we're just sitting here waiting for the show. What's going to happen here? And then, you know, I come out and start entertaining and engaging with them, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, this is actually fun. I love seeing that moment of transition.
Yeah.
I think something I do with my shows as well, I do sort of a soft open. So doors open and that's when the show starts. You know, I'm just walking around talking to people, and even though the curtain hasn't opened, but that's the start of the show. Right from the beginning, you're there. As soon as you walk into my venue, I'm going to come talk to you. I'm going to come do a magic trick for you. I'm going to come engage with the family.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best for me. I love not knowing what's going to happen and just going for it. I prepare very little when I do, you know, sort of roaming magic and close-up magic. I might have a few tricks ready to go, but the fun for me is seeing what's going to happen with this group.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get the dad who's, oh, I don't want to look at any magic. That's, yeah, it's kids' stuff. And then, you know, I do something cool for the kid and he goes, oh, yeah? Oh, that's pretty cool. What's going to happen next? And, you know, all of a sudden I'm doing something for the mom and he goes, oh, hey, not bad, not bad. And then the next trick I do for him and he's laughing his butt off. Love that transition. So, yeah,
everyone a fan. It must be really good when you win that audience over. And
yeah, well, I've always said, you know, I've been doing it professionally for 10 years and there's probably been three people in that 10-year period that completely had, you know, no interest, wouldn't give me the time of day. Which is pretty good odds. For 10 years to only have three people turn me down for doing magic, I'm pretty happy with that result.
How many people do you think you've entertained over the 10 years?
Oh, gosh. That's really hard to pick. I mean, I did a show on New Year's for 5,000 people.
My goodness.
So at least 5,000.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's huge. Cameron, what is one of the things that you would like people to do, take home with magic? Like you said that you're hoping to entice people into magic. Is there anywhere that, you know, kids can learn magic in Perth at the moment?
Well, I'm glad you asked because I actually will have a few magic kit stuff for sale at my shows.
Fantastic. I love these.
I've been hand making some very special things. I can't give too much away, otherwise I'll be kicked out of the Society of Magicians. But I've put together some like learn to do magic kits and they'll be available, so you know, come support the show, come buy some stuff. I'm selling it for way cheaper than it's meant to be, so please don't make me regret my life choices. But other than that, YouTube is actually a great source, although I dislike that a lot of YouTube channels do like, this is how Penn and Teller do this trick, or this is how this, you know, those big things. I'm not really a big fan of that because that's someone's
livelihood.
So yeah. Giving away stuff like that is bad. But to be, you know, card tricks, you know, simple tricks like that, stuff that anyone can learn in a book, you know, any starter magic book, that's open game. That stuff's been around for hundreds of years, so that's fine. I'm totally morally happy to you know, have people learn that. But there's great stuff on YouTube. You know, there's DVDs and books available online. I'm a member of the West Australian Society of Magicians, the oldest magic society in Australia. So if you are interested in that, you can always look onto their website and come join a meeting and eventually become a member of that as well. Can't give too much else away. It's a secret club after all. But yeah, there's loads of ways to do it. But the best way to do it is to come to my shows and see my show and buy my stuff.
And Cameron will talk you through it.
Absolutely. I give my business card and my email address to every purchase. So I'm always available. I'm always happy to help the younger crowds.
I really like that. I think that, kids could get a lot out of even just having a chat with you, really.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we can find Cameron on Fringe World, mm-hmm. and looking under Cameron the Magician or any of his shows that we've spoken about today. You've got 41 shows coming up.
So far. I'm sure I'll add more to it.
Could be interesting.
Yes.
And you, if we search for you on Google, you'll come up on Google as well from memory.
Yeah, so when you search Cameron the Magician, I'm usually the first result. There's mm-hmm. also some random guy from Canada with one random YouTube video up. Ignore that one. That's not me. CameronTheMagician.com.au.
Okay.
That's the main website. And you can go through there. I'm available for bookings. I do birthday parties, children's events, corporate events, weddings, roaming magic. stage shows, you name it.
Is your Fringe stuff available on the website as well?
It's not, because I am not good enough at the back end to add in a temporary Fringe thing, but that stuff's all on the social media stuff, so you can find it all through there.
Excellent. So we've had Cameron the Magician today. My name's Yvonne Fletcher. And Cameron, as we're finishing up, I've asked you for a couple of songs that represent your shows.
Yes.
What are they?
So the first one is A Final Countdown by Europe. That's for all you Arrested Development fans. You might recognize that as Job's song that he plays when he does his magic. So that's that covers the magic side of things. And the other song is The Baby's Got Back by Richard Cheese. It's a lounge version of the Anaconda song. For you younger kids who don't know what Baby's Got Back is. So those are the ones I've picked. I think they match both sides of the burlesque versus magic feeling.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining me today, Cameron. Yes. And I look forward to seeing you during Fringe.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a pleasure being here. And hopefully I'll see everyone at my shows or just in Fringe in general. Thanks for having me.
All right. See you later.
See you later.